This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's D-I-A-G-E-O BarAcademy.com.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Gentlemen, we are back again in the virtual studio.
Yes, we are. I'm back again in Brooklyn.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, finally. My wandering days are done for like another week or so. And
nice.
Damon, you some big news out of California where you are. You have the same governor again.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
That's one way of looking at it, but I think the other way of looking at it is we've dodged a major bullet by not changing the system over there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was I don't know, I didn't really think it was going to happen, and you know, it was kind of a landslide anyway, so yeah, at least people are, you know, just thinking positively about it. And you know, I was talking with some people last night about it, and they're like, you know what, man, he's done a lot of really great stuff during all, you know, like being in the pandemic. He was doing a daily briefing, you know, like not the demonized kind of situation that a lot of people put it into, you know.
Also, as we all know, doing a daily briefing during the coronavirus pandemic doesn't necessarily make you a good governor.
Right.
Well, no. That's true.
Just to put that out there.
Yeah.
As we saw. There were many other things, you know, just saying. Wasn't just sitting around. I mean, he did go to French Laundry, but you know what? It's a great restaurant. Just saying.
The man has taste. Let him stay.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? When you were talking at the beginning of the show about, 30 seconds ago, about here we are in the virtual studio, I don't know what you guys, I mean, Greg, your virtual studio has existed in so many places over the past year or so. Mine is in my back bedroom of my house, and it's gotten... I've just like put more effort into making it more comfortable. So now there's, you know, it basically looks like an opium den in here. but you know, I've got nicer equipment, you know, it's stuff I needed anyway. I'm a musician. It's nice to have a nice, vocal microphone so I can record, vocal lines with. I also use it for, acoustic recording, you know, it sounds, anyone who plays acoustic electrics out there knows that the pickups and acoustic guitars are just terrible. So you always want to record acoustically. So I like it for that. Also got a nice cushy chair, just saying, you know, so like, I don't know, Souther, you've got a new place pretty recently. And what's your studio like?
I was about to say, that's the thing that's missing for me is a comfortable chair. I have a bar stool next to a bar height table with my Rode mic and a sort of a buffer around it so that we can dampen out sound. But yeah, I've improved my equipment at least, you know, like I just said, I got a Rode mic and a buffer, and I think we're sounding better and better and better, even though we're not in the studio where I think the sound is probably best. But yeah, a good chair would probably be my next upgrade. I sit on this rickety stool, and it's usually three quarters of the way through the show, I end up standing up because the stool isn't that comfortable.
Can you just like take one from one of your like 20 bars or restaurants?
Listen, man, we don't have any seats at my bars. No. that's where this one came from.
Do you stand up of your own accord, or like halfway through the recording, does someone come in and just like scoop it away from under you for the full?
Yeah, like
full
we do
experience?
At the bar. Yeah, exactly. Someone comes and sweeps it away.
Well, I don't know if I've told you guys this, but I actually, now that I'm finally settled in my new spot, I actually converted a closet in my apartment into like a full podcasting studio.
You're a man of many parts. You're a man of many parts. You're involved in how many shows now?
Oh, Jesus, like 20. it's four at my last count, but honestly, there could be some that I'm forgetting. But yeah, it's you know, I moved into this place and it's a pre-war building. It's littered with closets. It has four of them, not counting the weird explosion of closets that I converted into a bar. And I was kind of like, what do I need all this closet space for? And I was kind of like, or do I have three closets and a podcasting studio? The only problem with it is that it gets really, really, really hot. But we got to suffer for art, right?
Well, yeah. And I'm sure you could make yourself a cold beverage.
I'm way ahead of you on that one. Well, actually, I'm going to take that back. Do you need to suffer for art? Because as we all know, you know, part of our business, a hazard of the job is the day after hangover. But our guest today may have found a way around that. Joining us in the studio, we have Chris Boyd of Drink Monday, a non-alcoholic spirits company. Chris, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us today.
Yeah, man. Hey, gents. How are you doing? Thanks for having me. Super stoked.
Yeah. Yeah, excited to have you, Chris. Welcome.
No more hangover, no more tears. We're excited.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's like a self-serving thing. Like, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Before that, I was like in consulting. Like, you know, you're kind of like this type A, always on the go, competitive in the gym too. So like, I have all these things where like, I need to be good and I want to be good. And the last thing I need, you know, approaching 40 now, is like a 2-day hangover. And that's pretty much all I get at this point, right? So it's not like your early 20s, you know, you bounce back and you're on a 3 or 4 day good one. And, you know, you hit Monday morning and you're like, fine, right? That's not the life that I have. And I think like, I just needed to find something that was gonna allow me to live my life the way I wanted. And, but you know, you still like, you get this like palate that you've built, right? A certain flavor profile, certain like complex beverages that you enjoy. And it's just like, how do I have one without the other?
Yeah. Well, you're speaking to the choir because you've got three guys who are just hustlers, you know, we're like New York hustlers. But I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I understand a lot of that because yeah, I mean, we're not that age anymore. As far as competition at the gym though, I'm afraid to go to the gym because of the deltoid variant. thanks for that, guys. I was trying out some new material.
The puns are coming back.
No, but for real, you know, like especially, I mean, we're kind of joking around with Souther before, but you know, this guy is a serial entrepreneur as well, and you know, I know that Souther is. Definitely talked to me about this before where he's just like, dude, I can't be out every night. His Sundays are like his one day that he gets to actually relax. And I think that's kind of important. Something we've really learned over the past year and a half during COVID especially, but it was definitely present before that where people are like, all right, you know what? This is New York City. This is LA. Everything's always on. Like I have to be on. And even though I'm in the booze biz or the F&B beverage and food business, you know, it's like, it's part of the fun, but it's also something that can really like slow you down dramatically. And the space of low and no ABV has been really interesting. So that's why I wanted to have you on the show. And thanks for getting back to us. I've seen it around, you know, on social media mostly. Also, I come from a background of graphic design. I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I, you know, the packaging is striking to me. It's beautiful. So, yeah, it's very cool stuff. And I do have to say, you know, you're in San Diego, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm up in the Bay Area. Cool. So for me, it's like to be able to, I've said for a very long time, I sound like a broken record, but I've said a billion times that I wish whiskey sometimes didn't have alcohol in it so I could start drinking it earlier or drink it all day long. And so thank you for allowing me to mix myself an old fashioned cocktail before 9 a.m. Because I've got one right here in front of me.
Oh, my dude. I love that. I like want to take that quote and just put it everywhere, right? Because I think it's like, it's just creating things for the people and what they're looking for, right? And I drink a lot of whiskey now before 10 a.m. And it's like almost a shock value kind of fun thing of like, hey, you know, what are you guys drinking? They're drinking coffee, right? And I was like, well, I'm drinking whiskey, you know, and it's just like, oh, tell me more. And, you know, it's, I think it's just about having an adult beverage on your own terms, because we're adults. We do what we want when we want. Why can't we have alcohol without alcohol, right? So it's just all about like getting everything you want, especially in the, I'd say overall the food and bev world, but maybe the world in general, right? I can drive a car without gas now. I can eat a hamburger without cow. I can have milk without dairy. You know, like, it's just interesting. You can kind of, beautiful place to be alive, where you can have the things you want without the things that you don't want.
And you can smoke weed without smoking weed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's always my favorite one too. It's like, you know, so it's a brand new category. Any new category has lots of trolls when you do ads and serve up stuff on the internet, and they'll just be like, what's next? Weed without weed? And I was like, you mean CBD?
Yeah. and you know, to me, that's just where we are. I mean, we are like in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really cool thing. So I kind of want to talk about, obviously, like, we're going to get into, we've got a lot to talk about, how did this happen?
yeah, for sure. You know, so, you know, I was actually working in the Bay Area consulting. So I'm on a plane and high powered, you know, kind of job, 60 hours a week. You guys definitely know that grind. And, you know, I'm a early January birthday baby too. So it's like January 5th. It's like a Sunday, 2019. I go out with a couple friends, 'cause they're just like, hey man, it's your birthday. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm turning 37. Not a big deal. But, you know, so we're at a bar and we're having like a gin drink. I have a second gin drink. Somebody wants to, you know, buy another round, and they're like, Chris, what are you having? What kind of gin drink? And I was like, you know, I'm going to stop. I'm going to switch to water. And they're, you know, I get some shit, right? And mm-hmm. they're just like, what do you mean? It's your birthday. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, this is actually what I want to do, because I got to get up at 5 a.m. I got to get on a plane. I got to talk to other adults who are probably not hungover. So I definitely want to try to not be hungover, right? And, you know, I think that was a kind of a moment of like, why can't I have these amazing gin drinks that are in front of me? You know, why can't I have 5, 6, or 7 of them without the effects of alcohol that I no longer need after 2 drinks, right? And I think I really stuck that feather in my cap, just tucked it away, and, you know, just went about my night, probably went about like the next couple months and just did my thing. And, you know, I kind of came up for air, you'd say, in March of that year. I was kind of done with consulting, a little bit burned out, and, you know, I'm sitting at the gym and one, you know, my new co-founder to be, Ben, another serial entrepreneur guy, has 4 young kids. We're both like competitive gym people. And he just goes like, hey man, like you're done with that. Like, what's next? And I kind of just blurted it out. I was like, what about gin that doesn't have alcohol, but, you know, has all that amazing flavor and, you know, super, great, like, mixer. You can do so many things, like, has a lot of variety. Like, just what about that? And you'd think like, that's kind of a crazy thing to just toss out of the blue, and it warrants like further discussion. And he got it right away. And he's like, yes, like, I've been drinking gin for 20 years. Like, I'm slowing down now when I have too many. And I have like 4 young kids at home, right? And then like the last thing I can do is like be a decent parent and just be hungover all day. So, you know, we kind of vibed on that. And we're just like, hey, is this a thing, right? And now it's like our entrepreneur brains are on. And we're just like, you know, if this exists, we'll be a customer, right? And we tried a couple things that were coming, I think, out of Europe at the time. And, you know, honestly, they didn't hit it for us. And we were a little bit disappointed. And we're like, this has to be a thing. And, you know, we kind of combined forces and said, like, all right, Ben's this online marketer, really is good at finding the white space and new online trends. So he did his thing. I actually had a background briefly in my 20s in San Diego hospitality and nightlife. So I kind of went back to my old contacts and just asking like, hey, are people interested in non-alcoholic drinks when they're out at your bar? Are you making a lot of drinks like that? What does that look like? And, you know, I think combining notes, we both found like there's definitely a demand for non-alcoholic. And, you know, we're seeing the trends online. I think Dry January was becoming a trending thing in the UK where it started, but starting to make its way to the Eastern Seaboard too. The idea of being sober curious or mindful drinking was just in its early days, I think. And we're starting to pick up on that. On the bar scene front, I talked to countless bartenders who are like, I make a ton of mocktails or non-alcoholic drinks. And quite honestly, it drives me crazy because I can't serve something up that's uniform, or I can't serve something up that isn't just like a mixture of sugars. And I get a shit tip for it too, because like I can only charge a couple bucks. And I was like, this is interesting, right? No, this seems like an underserved group on a wide variety of levels. And, you know, why
is there's definitely a graph right there that you just nailed that gets my attention, which is suddenly you don't have something uniform. If especially a few years ago, maybe you didn't have any kind of non-alcoholic drinks on the menu already, so you're making something up on the fly, probably when you were stressed and busy. Yes, it's right. Costing you extra energy, extra effort, and then suddenly you slide it across the bar and you can charge, you know, half the price of the normal drink, so they tip you accordingly, and you're like, wow, that was a lot of effort, exactly, energy, and work that went into thing that I'm going to get not rewarded for in the way that I'm accustomed to.
You nailed it.
And it's not like you have, you know, these, you don't really typically have like a bunch of like mocktails in your back pocket, you know, in your drinks Rolodex, you know, right. Maybe you do, but like, maybe some do, but it's not a typical thing. So where does that change, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, I think on the customer, the patron end too, they're not getting something they're probably enjoying. They were probably looking for what I like to call it an adult beverage, right? Something that's complex. It's beyond just sugar. It's beyond just like a ready to drink, like a soda. You know, you're looking for that certain experience. You want to be on an equal footing level with like your other friends who are all getting like proper cocktails or like a nice beer or wine, something that's complex, right? And layers of flavor, all that good stuff that we love. And, you know, it just feels like we could do better, right? And I think that's really what it was about. And, you know, that journey took us to this place of like, okay, you know, Chris personally has a few pennies tucked away. He could go on a little entrepreneurial ride and live off some savings here if we want to give it a shot. And that's, you know, going through 2019. So we're just like, hey, let's do it. You know, so the fun adventure was like getting on the phone with distillers, and we're like, hey, we have a flavor profile in mind. We definitely know where we want to go with gin, our initial product. And, you know, so reaching out to the distillers around the country, mostly the West Coast. You know, the story goes, I made 85 phone calls, and the first 84 of them were a mixture of like confusion, laughter, and anger toward me pitching this idea. And they'd be like, you know, mostly coming down to like, why would you take the best part out of gin? Like, what's wrong with you? And, you know, all of those types of things. Even down to like, oh, you know, if you write me a big six-figure check, maybe in 3 to 5 years, I'll have an answer for you. And I was like, wow, good luck with that. it was interesting. And I think like, it sounds like you guys are go-getter entrepreneurs too. Like you could think, wow, this is dumb. Nobody thinks it's a good idea. I actually, you know, we thought the opposite, right? Of like, wow, challenge accepted. Like, let's keep going. Cause if we can nail
nobody's going to buy water in a bottle.
Right.
Yep. Right. Bottled water is never going to take off.
Yeah.
And it's also this whole thing of like, you know, I think when you know you've got something, I almost feel like when you get laughed out the door, it makes you a little bit more excited because you're like, oh, sick. Like no one else knows that this is an awesome idea yet. So I've got it, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wanted to sort of ask about that awesome idea and this notion that you brought up a little bit earlier, that there is now a market for, you know, non-alcoholic whiskey, gin, beer, as we've been seeing a lot more of recently, that I don't think that market was there 5, 6, 7 years ago. Granted, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was in my 20s. I was not the target market for non-alcoholic spirits back then. Right. Now I am. So maybe it's just me seeing it, but is there another layer to this? Is there something that you think is going on in the undercurrents of society that is making people now say, you know what, I want to drink without getting drunk?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, great question. And my take is this is, we're in the midst of like this renaissance where people are really maybe taking a harder look at their own habits. And it may be because there is a rise in the food areas and technology areas. And I think non-alcoholic spirits, is a little bit downstream of that. But I actually look to like the alternative milks, right? So almond milk and oat milk and all that stuff, like really saying like, wow, these are delicious and I don't need dairy. And I think people are having a tough time with dairy, especially as you age up. So hey, I can now start to have things that I enjoy without the things that like the negative side effects that might come with that. And I think that's an idea, a seed that's been planted in people through those products. And, you know, I actually point to like impossible foods, right? So plant-based meats, that's really like, I think something that's hit for people of like, wow, like this thing tastes legit. It's real. And now I don't have to, you know, so if you're vegan, for instance, like you don't want to deal with all the animal factors with that, health related or moral related, right? So it's like you can have everything you want without avoiding those red flags for yourself. And all of those things I think are in combination of like, well, so now let's take a look at beverages, right? And like, sure, a couple things like that have been around. So you have like O'Doul's in the alcoholic space, they've been around forever. You have non-alcoholic, decaffeinated coffee. Both have been around forever, both not really been highlighted that much. But now it's like coming around and saying like, well, O'Doul's doesn't really taste that great. And I think most people would typically agree with that. But it's like, why can't they taste good? And I think if they taste good, people will start to put them in their drinks tool bag, right? And saying like, hey, we're not just appealing to straight teetotalers or 100% sober folks. People go on this spectrum of like, I'm on a drinking little bin or bender, and then, you know, I'm going to dry up for a bit, but I still like need my flavor fix. And how do I do that? And are there tools in my belt that I can use to like help me reach that goal? And I think like that's where we're at as a society, I think. And I think like non-alcoholic spirits rose. I think there are the dry January movements, the people really taking time to evaluate their drinking. I really think COVID kind of accelerated all of that because we ourselves or the memes out there, you know, people hunkered down during various lockdowns in their states and in places of the world, you know, they're just hunkered down with a bottle, just watching Netflix, right? And crying to themselves, you know, like you see all of those stories. Wow. You may or may not have done that yourself. No judgment.
It's like, how did you get into my apartment last year?
I thought you were talking about me.
That's so funny. You know, those things are real. And I think like people do come to a place of like, maybe you would call it a rock bottom and just say like, wow, what am I doing? Maybe I need to change a habit. Maybe I need to like hold myself accountable and go like 3 weeks without a drink. And it's not just drinks too, right? Like maybe I've been eating too much. Maybe I'm gonna, you know, try to get outside a little bit. Maybe I'm gonna try to change up my routine. I think the idea of lockdown really brought people together along with their thoughts and maybe had them evaluate their habits. And then they started to look for products that might like help them achieve some of those new habit changing things that they wanna do. And, you know, I think that's kind of how we're here, why we're here. And it's been fun to be part of such a young category rising and just be here for like, hey, we did this for ourselves. And it turns out when we talk to other people, they find it useful as well. And it's one of those like underserved categories or topics where you start to talk about it with other people, you unravel that onion a little bit, and people are like, wow, yeah, you know, I had a little thing with alcohol here, or my significant other or my friend and family member. Everybody has a story with how maybe a little bit too much alcohol at a given moment in their life was not such a good thing. And if products like ours were more mainstream and out there and available, you know, you could potentially have curbed that issue or that red flag. And I think that's why we're here.
Yeah. You know what? I think this is a great place to take a break. Let's hear from our sponsors and we'll come back with Chris Boyd of Monday. Back in a moment.
So guys, I don't know about you. I'm loving this conversation that we're having about non-alcoholic cocktails, because I think it's a conversation that is necessary and one that's actually gotten some, you know, gravitas over the last few years.
Listen, the popularity has risen exponentially, especially, I think, during the pandemic.
Exploded, yeah. Because, you know, there are so many reasons why people would choose not to have a drink. And, you know, if you're a bartender, you run a beverage program, and you're not catering to that, you're leaving money on the table at this point. So,
for me, certainly, I've, become a huge health nut, and I've gone to the gym a billion times, and, I just like the low and no ABV category. It's just working out really well for me. I mean, you've seen pictures of me.
It's too bad this is radio, because he does all these shirtless, too. It's like, Jason Momoa with a beard.
You are swole. Listen, I think one of the things that we need to really think about as bar owners and bartenders is the revenue that it generates.
Right.
You know, when you don't have a ready-made list of non-alcoholic cocktails and someone comes in and asks for one, that puts a lot of pressure on your team or yourself, if you're the bartender that evening, to, on the fly, come up with a drink that's balanced and tasty and beautiful and, appealing while you're probably in the midst of a big crush of your regular orders coming through. And then you can't charge enough for that drink because, you know, it's made from just things you kind of whip together. And then so in the end, it's not that much revenue for the business. And then you get tipped a percentage of what you charge. So it's not that much tip for you. So I think that, you know, if you want a resource, Diageo Bar Academy focuses a lot on low and no ABV cocktails. And in fact, at the website, they've got a guide that includes heroes in our field. Lauren Moat, who's been on the show recently, Ryan Chetterwandia, who's going to be on the show in the future, talking to you about how to build them, how to make them delicious, and also how to make them profitable for the business and profitable for the team.
Yeah, even some recommended reading by chefs like Grant Agates and many more. So there's a lot of resources here to be able to whip something up. And not even whip something up, really mindfully put something together for your guests, because no one wants to go in and, like as you said, just get something slapped together without any thought really put behind it. So this is a really great resource for putting together some thoughtful non-alcoholic and low alcohol cocktails.
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about it is this is just one of, you know, tons of really amazing, well thought out, well put together resources from people that, you know, are very respected in this field and who know what they're talking about. It's a great place to learn. And not only is this course alcohol free, it's also money free, just like everything else on Diageo Bar Academy. It is all free. So anything that you are curious about in the world of spirits, log on, give it a search. You can find people talking about, not just people, experts talking about the best way to do whatever it is that you're wondering about today.
Yeah, and all this, of course, can be found at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's D-I-A-G-E-O, BarAcademy.com. A great resource for all things spirit-related and apparently also non-spirit-related. Really, really just a great resource.
Stay informed, inspired, and connected. And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. In the studio today, we have our friend Chris Boyd in from Drink Monday. They make some awesome spirits, a gin and a whiskey with no alcohol in them. And we kind of touched on this. I mean, we touched a lot on the idea of kind of curbing drinking and changing habits, especially during COVID. You know, a lot of people have kind of like realized that maybe they wanted to change some things about themselves. I mean, it's not uncommon. I can certainly attest to this especially living in New York for 15 years, drinking every day is pretty commonplace in places like New York City. And you'd mentioned Dry January, and you know, for some people that don't get it, that don't understand, like it, from the outside looking into, in, you know, when especially industry people in New York City, you know, that drink literally every day, or at least every night rather, when they talk about Dry January, it's like, okay, well, you know, that's 1 month. Souther has always said that, you know, that's 1 month out of the year. That's cool. But if you start by taking 1 day every week off of drinking, that's 52 days out of the year, which is almost 2 months of not drinking. So I don't know. There's like different ways of doing it, but
yeah, funny enough, I always say, don't do Dry January. It's bad for my business, bad for bars. I say, I always say do Dry Tuesday, but maybe I should say do Dry Monday.
There you go.
Or just carry Monday at your bar and people can come 7 days a week.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Well, Chris, I want to talk about the product itself. Talk to us through the make. How's this stuff made? And talk to us about, of course, the end result and its flavor. I don't have any right here in front of me. Damon's drinking the whiskey, but I want to hear. We've been mostly talking about the gin, so let's talk about the gin. That was the premier product, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think me and the co-founding group, like we happen to be gin drinkers, I'd say by trade, with some air quotes thrown up, as in we've been drinking gin for many, many years. You know, I think we went with a combination of you know, what we like and what's near and dear to our heart, plus what maybe painting in a really broad stroke to hit a number of gin drinkers, right? And the idea is like, hey, if you want to get into the gin lovers, it can become like a religious discussion about their variant that they like. And we're not trying to do that. I think non-alc so young, let's appeal to a broad audience. Let's hit them with like a broad stroke. And so the idea is like juniper forward London dry gin, right? We're going to hit you over the head. Like this is very obviously a London dry gin. You very obviously pick up the juniper. Let's come with a little bit of, you know, botanicals and spices that are maybe more traditional. So your citruses and coriander and things of that nature. So let's just make something that's familiar to you. And kind of the idea behind that is like, I think about someone who's willing to be brave enough to say like, hey, status quo, you know, get out of here. I'm going to be brave. And I'm going to say like, I'm going to try not drinking in a world that really wants you to drink. And I think that's a brave one step. I think asking them to take a second step and trying a spirit that may not taste the way they think it should is probably one step too many. So we're trying to get them to take one step and really like reward them for that bravery with like, hey, you're a London dry gin drinker. You're going to like this. It's going to taste familiar. And that will make you, I think in your brain, when you're having that drink, you'd be like, wow, this gin and tonic tastes just like my alcoholic gin and tonic. Like that's a keeper, right? And now I have that at my home bar. And when I feel like I need to take a break, like I have that and it's not strange feeling or it's strange tasting. It's very familiar. So that's kind of the intent there.
I would ask then also, like, what made you, just because, well, surely all businesses kind of begin with a little bit of ego. And I think your ego was that I'm a gin drinker, so I'm going to make a non-alcoholic gin. But, you know, I would think as an entrepreneur, you might look at the market and say, well, the majority of folks out there drink vodka. Why wouldn't you make a vodka first?
Yeah, you know, great question. Great background to entrepreneurial and all that good stuff. I think gin was near and dear to our heart, but it was also something like we absolutely knew the flavor profile we were after. And it was like, here's a target within reach. And I think when I go back to the beginning of 2019, at least on the West Coast, I can say gin was hot. And I know that that's strange from you know, several hundred year spirit, but gin was becoming hot. We're seeing lots of like craft distilleries on the West Coast popping up, making gin and gin varieties, even getting away from, traditional Juniper forward gin. So a lot of people were kind of in play in the gin world. So we're like, okay, seems like a good time to enter. And then we're thinking about at the bar level and, you know, both home bar and then, you know, real brick and mortars, gin has such variety, right? And it's so versatile. You can make so many different types of drinks there that we think it could play to many palates. And then before we started making those 85 phone calls, right, to distilleries, we, you know, doing a little research prior, I wouldn't say it's easy to make gin, but it's on the easier side, right? You have this star in the juniper, and then you kind of push that star forward. You have a couple supporting cast members through the process, but it's not like a whiskey, right? Which could have hundreds of different elements or even thousands, right? And with, I think, gin, you're talking about a dozen or so, at least for our variety. So we're trying to go somewhat simple. And that was really the intent. So to go back to your why not vodka, I mean, from a business perspective, right, vodka makes the most sense. People drink vodka in the world the most popular. I think for us, it felt disingenuous. One, because like we weren't vodka drinkers. Two, we feel like in a brand new category that's already saying, so you make flavored water for $40. When you talk about vodka, yeah, I think we're all, I'm going to assume we're all, you know, pretty experienced palates that are deep. We know vodka isn't tasteless, but generally the world thinks vodka is tasteless. So I think that was going to be, it was going to be a tougher sell, because when you're trying to get people's attention for 30 to 40 seconds, explaining the why of the category, then the why of the product and the benefits of the product and then the price of the product and how to go get it, you know, you don't have that much time. And I think vodka was going to be more difficult to sway people into like, no, this isn't just like water that you're buying. It actually is pretty deep. So we kind of started with gin. We're examining the space. We're not seeing others really get into the vodka space either. I think we all kind of collectively feel that's a tough one to sell people on. Can we make it like, can it have some gravity to it? Can it really offer some flavor? And I'm not sure that we're there yet.
Yeah. Plus like almost everybody has non-alcoholic vodka that comes out of the faucets in their house for free.
Right.
So,
right.
But you mentioned something there that I thought was really interesting that I want to ask you about. You were talking about the relative simplicity of making non-alcoholic gin versus the complexity of making whiskey. And you make both. And I really wanted to ask how that cognitive shift was for you when you were developing these recipes, because, you know, when I think of gin, the flavor comes from botanicals. I mean, tea is botanicals. Right. You know, that would be something that I think would be relatively easy to recreate in a non-alcoholic space. Whereas when I think of whiskey, I think of a lot, so much of that flavor comes from the interaction of the alcohol with the wood. And that's got to be a very, very difficult process to ape in a non-alcoholic space. So what was that like shifting those gears to make the whiskey after launching with the gin?
Yeah. No, great question. You know, so I'd say gin near and dear to our heart again, and we ran with it in 2020. So we've only been for sale during a pandemic era, which has been fun. We saw a ton of growth and a lot of interested customers, right? And that was great. And everyone's kind of like, what's next? Please make it a whiskey, right? So I think it was like, well, listening to our customer base, and I think what happened commonly is like one of the two in a couple liked gin and the other liked whiskey generally. And it was just like,
there are a lot of songs about that.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think we're seeing that. And I was like, okay, well, you know, here are some data points suggesting like where we should go. And then of course, to your point, the challenge is like, wow, whiskey is this behemoth to make. And it's just, it's so nuanced and it can go in so many directions, and even more of a religious discussion about your types of whiskey and likes and dislikes for amongst people. I think where we came down to is like, you know, we actually have a master distiller who owns his own distillery in LA, kind of entrepreneurial like us, and was gritty and was that 85th phone call, was like, dude, I'm on board. I don't know where this is headed, but like, I get it. And I want to take the ride. So he kind of earned our trust, knocking gin out of the park to our spec. We brought him in closer, strategic partner, all that good stuff. So unraveling that a little bit, we found is like, he's an award-winning spirits maker and he's actually an award-winning bourbon maker. And we're like, okay, so the demand is for whiskey, award-winning bourbon maker here that we trust. So we kind of like gave him almost full control over making that formulation. And that's how we kind of made that leap of like, okay, this group are gin lovers. We're interested in whiskey, but I think we couldn't replicate that same like, oh, we know exactly the target we want to hit, because that wasn't true. So we kind of handed him the keys to whiskey and said, like, make something happen. You know, we'd be part of the taste testing crew. We'll open it up to some other folks that know more than us there. So just kind of giving up the trust reins a little bit and, you know, taking a leap of faith. And it's been an interesting journey too, because like, this whole process has kind of made me a whiskey drinker now. Like I definitely, you know, moved across like my own taste profile and it's changed a bit. So I drink our whiskey all the time now, and I don't drink as much of the gin, which is super weird to say out loud for someone who'd been drinking gin as long as me. So it's like the journey has been moving my own personal palate and tasting experience too. So it's been sure. It's been fun.
So you're working with a distiller to make these things. Talk about the process itself. Is it initially distilled and then the alcohol is somehow removed, or what's the breakdown?
Yeah, sure.
Unless of course it's proprietary and you can't talk about it.
it is proprietary. The thing is, like, I'd love to have him on, because I think you guys could always talk about the hard stuff too, which I know is the bread and butter here. He's a great guy. When we kind of handed him the keys to that stuff, like, we own the formulations and I've seen them, I don't really understand them quite honestly, but he's kind of doing some magic in his distillery. My understanding is like, it's kind of a blending of old and new. So some distilling old schoolness with some newer stuff I would say like equipment and techniques that you would use, say in, oh my God, bringing up like, so bringing fragrances out of different.
Sure. Distillation and perfume making are very close cousins.
Yeah. And then we have like, so we don't age, of course, because it's a fresh product and it would rot, but we definitely sit goods in wood staves and things of that nature to grab some of the wood, you know, essences and such. So what I have learned is like, it's a much more difficult process because, you know, alcohol doesn't rot or go bad. So you can leave them in there for longer periods. We have a very short window to kind of test formulations before they go bad. So it's an interesting rush to get it into a bottle, to ensure freshness.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of very interesting, preservatives that you can use to keep them, but ultimately, you know, it's something that I believe it says in your bottle that it should be drunk, consumed within the first 6 months, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So definitely not. Not something.
That's not a hard thing for me to, you know, get done.
We figured that would be a decent amount of time, and you know, I think it's been that was definitely something going into it we were just, you know, naive to and say like, oh, how long does this last? And luckily 6 months was a decent amount of time, especially in a new category. I think people are so like, they're sharing it with friends and they're making up different cocktails and opening up their worlds, right? So we get a lot of people who only drink whiskey neat. And I'm like, hey, have you tried a couple cocktails with it too? And then they're just like, wow, I didn't know this world existed. So just opening up new doors for people left and right.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I wanted to go next here. You know, the most iconic, let's go back to gin, the most iconic gin cocktail on the planet, of course, the martini, but that then involves vermouth. So if you want to stay in the non, certainly using Monday would bring you to a lower ABV option. But if you wanted to stay in the non-alcoholic option, what are the cocktails that you find are working the best with your gin?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, in the gin world, I would stick to, right, so gin and tonic, of course. I mean, that's classic, not really a cocktail, but in terms of like a mixed drink, right? So like gimlets of the world, we go with like, you know, Aroma's gin fizz, things of that nature. Anything that pairs well with, I would say like a citrus is really like a good go-to.
I don't consider bitters to be alcohol, even though they do have alcohol in them. But I like gimlet variations, like the Bennett with a little, you know, with a little Ingo, and then of course the Sawyer cocktail, which is, it's enough bitters dashed into it to make it probably alcoholic, but it's a, what is it, seven dashes Peixo, 7 dashes orange, 14 dashes Angostura, and then otherwise a gimlet of sorts.
Beautiful.
Gimlets always make great non-alcoholic cocktails.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like you guys had mentioned, like, you know, switching to Monday and then using a traditional like recipe, that would make it a low alc cocktail. And we actually see that a lot. People will just say like, hey, I would love 3 drinks that I really enjoy as opposed to 1 like high alcohol content drink. And I was like, you know, this is perfect for that. So it's just
makes it a little bit more sessionable in that way. And I think people are definitely on the lookout for that. I guess the issue for someone like me who runs a bar that literally has nothing on it that's non-alcoholic with the exception of water, the trouble is that the category is just too new, right? We don't have non-alcoholic vermouths at hand. We don't have non-alcoholic bitters or Amari at hand.
They exist. They're out there.
They're out there. Right. But yeah, they're small, to your point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's growing. It's burgeoning still.
I had a non-alcoholic sparkling wine the other day that was actually good, and it got me thinking about doing a French 75 with Monday gin.
Yeah. We've seen that in a couple places. So customers come out of the woodwork on social and can't wait to showcase their newest thing. French 75s with some sparkling non-alc is one of the winners, I'd say. And to speak more just on non-alc wines, I'd say like that's probably the toughest place to go. But if you do add bubbles and make it a sparkling variety, they actually get pretty decent, and they get kind of away from sugary grape juice and actually become something that's a little more complex.
Yeah.
Do you have your, I know the company's super new, only basically a year old, developed during released during the pandemic. You've already got the 2 marks. Are you intent on creating a full back bar? Do you think you're looking down the road at a rum, a tequila, possibly a mezcal, et cetera?
Yeah. We're working on our third spirit now. It's definitely going to be a tequila. We're thinking like a reposado, maybe something a little bit higher end. We want like a smooth sipper, but something that'll also go in your kind of classic cocktails, your Paloma, your margarita. Introduction of a little smoke would be interesting. I love mezcal personally. We're just thinking again of like, okay, let's new category, paint in broad strokes. I think the idea of tequila is much more well known. Mezcal is kind of, you know, the ninja.
Still a little polarizing,
right?
You know, growing in leaps and bounds, but to the general public, I think it's a little polarizing still.
Right. We're just looking for them to be like, you know, they see that on a bar or in a cocktail menu, and they're like, "Yes, I know what that is," as opposed to mezcal, which is, you know, hit and miss depending on who you are and what you're up to.
Right. Cool. And especially because you're already trying to get them to, you know, take a little bit of a leap of faith with a non-alcoholic spirit. It's like, hey, take a leap of faith with a non-alcoholic spirit where you haven't maybe not even that familiar with the boozy version of this, right. You know?
Right. Yeah. So it's like baby steps, right? And I think once you create some confidence and some trust there, then it'd be like, cool, what's next? Like, I'm ready.
Yeah. You know, there's a cocktail that I will say this. I'm really digging the non-alc category, not just in spirits, but in beer too. We had recently, we've had them on the show twice now, the folks from Athletic Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And there's, I'm not a huge beer drinker these days, but I love beer cocktails. And I love creating beer cocktails because it's kind of, it's a challenge. You know, it's not just like throwing beer on top of a cocktail. You have to account for bricks and all this stuff. And, but there's one that's actually kind of a modern classic to me anyway, that I believe it's either Sasha Petrasky or Sam Ross. I mean, because they invented everything, right? But it's a beer cocktail and it's really simple, but it's like my favorite like summertime cocktail. It's a beer and whiskey cocktail. It's called the Chevelle. Mm. Ounce of whiskey, half ounce lemon, half ounce simple, and then topped with Pilsner. And I made that yesterday with Monday and with Athletic Brewing, their Pilsner. And it was, I mean, it was amazing. So just might need to throw that in there. But I have to ask another question, because you mentioned a lot of food and I'm starting to get hungry now. But you being in San Diego, I one of my favorite spots there, it's all vegan and it's called Kindred.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just see
love
this,
that bar. That bar is
I
awesome.
See this in that bar. I don't know if they're carrying it, but it kind of makes sense to me that it would be in Kindred.
Yeah. You know, I think we're, I think with the hopeful fingers crossed, like doors are staying open, COVID's kind of curbed. We have good practices to keep everybody safe while keeping our doors open. We're definitely pivoting toward getting in more brick and mortar doors because I think we want to be where people are. And if they're out and they're at their favorite spot, I think they should have options like ours. And my big thing is like, hey, don't just carry Monday, carry a variety of stuff. We want to look like a back bar, right? You don't just carry one variety of gin, right, and one variety of whiskey. Like, let's carry a variety. And I think like Athletic Brewing, I'm a huge fan of them. San Diego guy, big beer guy. I actually don't drink alcoholic beers anymore because the non-alcs are so good between hop waters and the things Athletic are coming out with. Like, they're crushing it. And I'm just, I kind of don't see the point now that I have everything I want on the flavor front. So it's like, I would love to take this out and really start to get it out into brick and mortars. And I can tell you there's been a lot of organic outreach. So bar directors, beverage directors, even owners of hospitality groups, they kind of come out and reach out to us and say like, hey, we've been in lockdown. We've been looking around and seeing what people want. We've been hearing some of our longtime customers coming back and saying like, we need to offer more inclusive things and put them on our menus. And totally, we're reaching out to you because, you know, your name keeps coming up. And that's really cool to see. And we want to do everything we can to kind of support those groups because I think, circling back to the beginning, I really think this is a way to add more dollars into bartenders' pockets and then, you know, more revenue into bars themselves and all while making patrons very happy. We actually had one of our team members go to Austin on vacation. And what she said was like, she bellied up to a bar and there was non-alc menus everywhere. And she even was next to somebody who bought like an $18 like non-alc spirit cocktail, didn't blink twice, right? And $3 or $4 tip. And I was like, this is where we're headed. And I think this is good for everybody. That person was extremely happy with their beverage and ordered several more. And I think like, if everybody wins, like, let's do this. Let's blow this up.
I have one more thing to add to this. And I like that you brought back, brought up the fact that bars are starting to open up. The world's kind of, I mean, slowly, you know, we open up a little bit, then we close back. But like another thing that's happening that hits close to home for me is that I'm a musician and I probably started drinking because when I was a kid, I would pick up these guitar magazines and music magazines. And it was like it's mostly like this will date me, but it was like the early 90s and it was like Guns N' Roses hanging around with bottles of Jack Daniels everywhere. And it was like this thing where it's like, you know, you would see all these bands and music videos and like, it was coming off the 80s and there was still a lot of that happening, but like they were partying all the time. And I was like, okay, I guess if I'm going to be a rock and roll guy, I need to drink alcohol. But I will tell you that a lot of times on stage, I have been known to party like I was out in the crowd rather than on stage working. so to me, it's but you know, you build up a thirst when you're on stage, and it's nice to have something. So on a completely different kind of, not just like being in the industry, that kind of thing. Like for me, being on stage and being able to drink and have a clear head is massively important. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah. Just on that aspect of my life.
That's so cool. You know, can I share with you too? I had the strangest customer write in, and we got some strange ones, but this is the first. So they were a musician like you, and they were asking very earnestly and not trollish, like, I'm a musician and I drink or I swish whiskey around to clear my throat. Will Monday whiskey do the same thing? And I was like, man, this took me like away from my job. And I like went into a deep, dark Google hole for like a couple hours trying to research, like, what is going on here? Like, what is this? Cause I'm genuinely interested. And I think like, have you ever, it's like, it's an old wives tale, right? Or do you have any background about that? Is that a real thing? Does it work?
I think for me, it's always been about some sort of kind of, yeah. I mean, like whiskey, it's maybe a little bit psychosomatic. I think that it's probably loosened me up more in my mind than in my pipes. You know what I mean? But that's also important. You know,
I mean, but frankly, Chris, the easy answer here, you know, again, as a sort of entrepreneur and a curious business person, I would have been like, my man, I am sending you a bottle right now, and I need you do the work and show me the results.
We totally did that, and I think like I was so curious, right? And I'm like, okay, it sounds like if it is truly your pipes, there's this warming sensation that maybe he's thinking the alcohol gives him. And I was like, cool, we have like a hot pepper extracty type thing that will warm you. Cool. If something about actual ethanol alcohol is the thing, well, obviously I can't help you. And I was like, you know, that's a pretty strong coin flip. Let's give this a go. I'm interested. So this just happened recently. I'm eager to hear back, and it's just, you never know what stuff like this is going to take you. And it was all part of that ride.
Yeah. Well, if people want to follow the results of your highly scientific study, where can they follow you on the socials?
Yeah. So at Drink Monday on Instagram is probably the best spot. And, you know, we always try to share some things on our stories that are new and interesting because the space is so experimental. And you know, we're just a handful of folks just passionate about the space, and, you know, we're just real people. So we try to share things like real people.
That's amazing, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Speakeasy today to talk about this. And we didn't even get to talk about how handsome your bottle is, but listeners, if you see one, it's very attractive and it looks really, really nice on a back bar. So go out and pick some up.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Yeah. It was a true honor. I could do this all day, quite honestly.
So we
tend to.
Yeah, sometimes we do. Well, man, Chris, thanks again so much for devoting some of your time to us. I know you're a busy person, probably got to hit the gym. and we really appreciate what you're doing out there and how you're kind of opening up the minds of your guests as well as our guests. And, you know, Drink Monday is looks like a great product, and I can't wait to get a hold of some and give it a go. That's it for this week's episode of the Speakeasy. Tune into Heritage Radio Network to listen to many more shows just like ours, or log on to heritageradionetwork.org to donate to the station to keep us all on air. Thanks so much, everybody. Cheers.
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 So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to the Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.